Welcome to the Be Disciples podcast with your hosts, Kyle Morris and Dakota Smith. This is episode number 86 as we continue our study in the book of Acts. Welcome to the podcast, Dakota. How are you doing?
I'm really good, brother. How are you doing?
I'm great. It's been a tiring but productive week or weeks or summer so far. It's just been a lot of fun in ministry.
Yeah, it's been very busy. I think you would agree with this, both from a familial and family, wife, kids, natural first and foremost responsibilities. Then you have the church, and you know, there's a lot going on, and we're trying to be present in a number of places. We're trying to not be too present in the same locations. We're trying to spread it out. But there's a lot going on. We're just trying to be faithful. So yeah, thankfully, you know, we see the Lord moving in our church. It's easy to be motivated for ministry when you see people responding the right way. I'll say that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, when you see people repenting, growing,
responding to counseling,
and doing those sort of things, it's a lot of fun, because even though it may weigh heavy at times in those moments where you're like, man, that was a lot. That was more than I wanted to take on today.
Yeah.
But then going, all right, well, I can give that over to the Lord and I can continue to move forward, yeah, because he's got that under control and I'm not the one trying to lift all of it. Because if I try to lift all of it, what's going to happen? I'm going to crumble, even if it's for things that are of God, because God's like, I didn't ask you to hold all of it. I asked you to turn it over to me.
Maybe this phrase would be a little bit funny, but actually the only thing the Lord is asking you to lift is your finger.
Yeah.
Just point people to him.
Yeah, that's it.
This is the way of the Lord. Go there, you know.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it kind of transitions. We're in Acts chapter 9. We've been learning about Saul.
Yes.
We're going to learn about Peter a little bit today. But there's movement with the apostles. There's movement. There's ministry going on, right? We have to understand the context and the circumstances in which they're moving, because we've been learning about persecution towards Saul, which Saul used to be the one persecuting Christians. And now we're just going to talk about Peter and just the movement of the church and what is happening. So let's pray. I'll pray for us, and then we're going to dive into the book of Acts.
And real quick, just before you pray, you know, just because I think it fits more naturally for me to say this now before we jump into prayer. But what we're beginning today is like some type of beginning of an end of sorts. You're starting to see the book of Acts transition away from more localized ministry, specifically to the Jewish people. Remember from the last episode, Saul has been placed in Tarsus, where he's going to get alone with the Lord for 5 years. And then here from chapter 9, verse 32, where we're beginning today, all the way to chapter 11, verse 30, you're going to see like this closing out of Peter's ministry, at least the emphasis of his ministry in Acts. And then after that's done with, you're going to see Paul kind of come up with his rise and his three missionary journeys to the Gentiles and things like that. So it's truly the beginning of the end of focusing on localized Jewish ministry.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day that you have made. Let us lean in to your word. Let the Holy Spirit move as we speak.
Yes.
Lord, I pray for each listener that no matter if they're in their vehicle, they're at home with the AirPods in, vacuuming, mowing the lawn, whatever, that the Spirit would move upon them. And whether they know you and this is a time of growth, or whether they're hearing the Bible for the first time randomly through this podcast, that Lord, you would draw them to you and who you are and reveal yourself to them, and that they would be saved. So use this podcast for your glory. And allow yourself to be seen, Lord, through all of these different means. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Acts chapter 9, verses 32 all the way to verse 43. We're going to close out this chapter in the following way. We remember last week, Saul has been preaching immediately after his conversion. He's been preaching, and on two different occasions, they want to take his life. Verse 31 ended this way. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. Maybe just like one word on that verse, Kyle, from last week's passage. Something I just thought of is, you know, when you go on in the fear of the Lord and you have the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it's easy to do ministry when you're actually experiencing that. You and I were just having a conversation about doing ministry in tough places before we got on to record. And I think if you really fear the Lord and you really have the comfort from the Holy Spirit, you will continue on. So that's a kind of like a good launch pad into what's going to happen today.
Yeah, I mean, we as Christians today, I mean, I think we're now, at least in America, experiencing the pressures and a more intense pressure of persecution than ever before. And so I think we can draw from the pressures of Saul and the pressures that are going to be put on Peter, and then draw from what they're putting their trust in.
That's right.
And the scriptures give us that. It gives us that encouragement. It shows us the work of Christ. You know, I was mentioning, and I'm sure we'll bring it up again, Jonah beforehand, and just the circumstances in which Jonah of the Old Testament was called to, and knowing the result of what God can do or will do if he says he's going to do it. Being able to trust in that and to trust that God will protect you. And even if you end up being persecuted to the point of death, what that results in, because the only thing that results in, according to scripture, is more people knowing who Jesus is.
That's right.
So
that's what we want.
So can we rest in that? And I think as we continue to go through Acts, I think that's something just to keep in mind, because we're going to see lots of movement. That's what Acts is all about, is just this continual spreading of the church and what the Holy Spirit is doing in men, through men, to reach more people.
Yeah, like a power wash with your car, pressure on the church should purify the church. Pressure purifies. And I think that's what you see in this early church. The pressure's on, and they're walking in purity, and the Lord is using a church that's purified. So with that being said, here we go. Verse 32, now as Peter was traveling through all those regions, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed. Immediately he got up. And all who lived at Lydda and Sharon, which is another location, saw him, and they turned to the Lord. I have a note here that says Lydda is about southeast of Joppa, right on the edge of the sea near the Mediterranean there by 11 miles. Sharon says it's the plain extending southward for 50 miles along the Mediterranean Sea from modern Haifa, which stands on Mount Carmel. So basically, the edge of the Mediterranean Sea, focusing westward, looking unto the nations. An interesting spot, an interesting location, mm-hmm. Geographically speaking.
Yeah, just kind of looking at this right away, you know, it just says Peter's just going here and there among them.
Judea, Galilee, Samaria.
Right, he's just moving around, preaching the word, you know, doing the work that the Lord has for him, that he instructed him to do. And so it's just like an as he is going, right? And that just reminds me of what we're supposed to be doing. As we go, as we're called to go, this is the ministry that we're supposed to do. And I mean, that's what Peter is doing. I think it's cool. We're just to be reminded that Peter is just a man, though called to an apostleship that is, you know, only 12 of those, but still called to the same Christian call. So I think we just need to remember he's a man empowered by the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we are men inspired, or, you know, the Holy Spirit is working through us. So we need to be confident in what is empowering Peter, not Peter himself.
Yeah.
So just reminded what is happening in this scene, because we see a healing here, a healing of somebody who's paralyzed. Well, I automatically go back to Jesus. Because Jesus did what? Well, he healed. And he healed what? People who were paralyzed. I think of the friends that brought in the paralytic and broke open the roof and lowered him down into there to be saved, and the faith of these men. And Jesus says, get up, grab your bed and walk. You know, Peter here says, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're healed and make your bed. I mean, a very, you know, parallel ministry of what Jesus did. And now Peter is doing it through the power of Jesus Christ in his name, through the Holy Spirit. And so there's parallels in Jesus's ministry. So Peter's just a trained disciple in the ministry in which Jesus entrusted to him to go and be faithful and to do it. And that's what we see Peter doing here in this text.
Your thoughts there just reminded me of a conference we went to recently at the Charles Spurgeon Library. You know, they have all of his memorabilia, if you'll call it that, his signatures, you know, his cigars, all of his books, some written letters, yada, yada. I mean, the library is incredible. Mm-hmm. But one of the first things they said about this conference, which focused on really the practical theology of ministry of Charles Spurgeon, one of the first things that they said is, we are not here to worship Charles Spurgeon, but we're here to remember that through Charles Spurgeon, we see Jesus.
Right.
And as if Spurgeon was just pointing you towards the one that he worshiped. And I think this is the same thing happening with Peter. We don't read this story and say, oh man, like, look at Peter. It's more of like, look at Jesus Christ through the life of Peter. Jesus was using this man going about in a very special way. And what's the result? Not that others turned to Peter. Verse 35 says, they turn to the Lord. And maybe like a good practical thought is this, is like when you're truly doing Holy Spirit-inspired ministry, people should see the Lord in you and through you, and your ministry should result in people following the Lord. It should not result in others following after you per se, or, you know, some type of ideology or vague thing, but they're turning to the Lord. So that's what's happening, I think, in this passage initially.
Yeah, and I mean, this brings up a good point. Because I think we have, under the umbrella of Christianity, we have Catholicism.
Yes.
Who would put Peter kind of up on a pedestal.
They venerate him.
Right? That would be where the Pope comes from.
That's right.
Where I think as Protestants, we can get in trouble too. We like to put who at the top? Sometimes Paul. Mm-hmm. And we like to celebrate, look what Paul did. He wrote most of the New Testament. What an amazing man he was.
Yep.
Well, we just learned about Saul, who we know is Paul, and what happened in his conversion. Was it him who suddenly just was like, I'm going to follow Jesus now? No, it was the work of Christ in him that gave him the call to do these things. Jesus chose Paul. Jesus chose Peter. And we know that because Jesus literally walked up to Peter and chose him. So who did the work and who is doing the work? It's not these men. These men are being obedient to Jesus and they're following him. They shouldn't be worshiped. They should be examples that we follow because they're in scripture and they're apostles, but they shouldn't be worshiped because they themselves in scripture would tell you that's wrong and that Jesus is the object of worship, right? Not them. That we need to be obedient and pursue godliness, not godliness of Peter or godliness of Paul. So I just think as we read through this, we need to make sure we don't elevate these guys because it's the acts of the Holy Spirit. This would be called the acts of Peter or the acts of Paul if it was that's what it was about, but it's not. It's the acts of the Holy Spirit.
And I think maybe just to provide more context too, in 1 Corinthians, Paul does say, follow me as I follow the Lord. I think he says something very, very similar.
He says, imitate me.
Yeah, literally mimic me. Yeah. I think he says something very similar in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's there in my mind, but not the phrase exactly. But nevertheless, so there's a context to that, right? But what his point is as I am following the Lord with all my heart and loving him, I so badly want you to have the same thing. So only follow me to the degree that I'm pointing you towards the one that you need to follow. Something that I find geographically interesting, though, kind of coming back to this point, is locationally where they're at. You know, we know that the Great Commission called the Christians, the first Christians to go, right, to where? Jerusalem, then Judea, really the region around the city of Jerusalem, then the region of Samaria, right, then to the ends of the earth. Well, this location facing westward, the known world, right, it's almost like you're on the edge, you're on the boundary of the nation of Israel itself. And actually, all throughout scripture, the nations have been equated or paralleled with the ocean. You know, if you think in the book of Revelation, it speaks of how the nations were coming up out of the sea or the beast, right? And that's because the Mediterranean Sea connects what? Connects all those nations. It's almost like Peter's in that position looking westward like, hey, our ministry here in Israel, we're on the fringes, And the movement of the Holy Spirit is going where? It's going westward to the nations beyond the ocean. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, geographically, something is happening here that I think we need to take notice of.
Yeah, I mean, and context is big, because I'm even asking myself as we were reading chapter 9, like, it's all about, you know, we got Saul and Saul and Saul, and all of a sudden just Peter all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoa.
Yeah, there's a shift.
Why? Like, yeah, there's a big shift. And we talked about that transition verse. We even said it at the beginning of this. There's a transition verse. We know Saul's going to go away for a little while, and he'll be back real soon. But and then it shifts to Peter now. So there is an interesting shift here. Like, the Holy Spirit isn't just using one person. We also have to recognize that the Holy Spirit isn't just using the apostles. Right, we've had thousands now come to Christ.
That's right.
There's lots going on during this time, not just Peter, not just Saul, but the rest of the apostles. What are they doing? The rest of those who are following Christ, what are they doing? So it's cool. I think to kind of know the state of the church at this time as Saul is converted, as Peter then continues to go. You know, the early church is being developed, and they're on the edge of going past the region in which Jesus walked.
So next section, verses 36 all the way to 43, I think we're going to see some similar movement of the Spirit, right? Now in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, "Do not delay in coming to us." So Peter arose and went with them. When he arrived, they brought him into the upper room. And all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up, and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. It became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed many days in Joppa with a tanner named Simon. All right, brother. A little bit bigger of a section, but I think it's interesting that both scenes deal with believers who had an issue with them, right? At least I'm assuming Aeneas earlier on he was, because it says he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda, right? So we're seeing Peter actually doing work in the midst of the church, which is kind of it's a unique trend.
It is unique. The first contrast that I've noticed between the two scenes was, one, the first one, Aeneas, there was no description of his life. There was no like, oh, he's a good man.
That's a good point.
He does all these great works. Nope, he's just a paralyzed guy for a while. That's all we know. We know no other details. But for some reason, in the second scene, we know that this woman is of good charity, of
right.
great works. There are literally widows weeping around her with the garments in which she made for them, mm-hmm. showing the works that she has done. But Peter comes to both of them, and Jesus heals both of them.
That's right.
It had nothing to do with their works.
That's great.
It had to do with what was going to happen because of their healing. The healing itself is phenomenal. It's a miracle. But the result in both we see is what? People
Same.
Coming to know the Lord.
Yeah, they turned to the Lord. They believed in the Lord. Something I just see here in my footnotes, Tabitha actually means gazelle. You think of a gazelle that runs and jumps and leaps and has a ton of energy and is mm-hmm. very fast. You get this depiction that this was a woman of high energy, a go-getter, someone who is always on the move, very much an accomplisher. on and on about her character. So maybe, yeah, you see a contrast, but whether you do something or you don't do something, none of that determines God's grace on your life.
Yeah,
I mean, there are blessings for obedience. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying
right.
God is impartial.
Right. And here's another thing, just noticing from Jesus's ministry to what Peter is doing. We notice many times that Jesus gives instructions after a healing, right? Whether that's keep this to yourself for now.
It's true.
Or go tell so-and-so in the temple, you know, whatever that may be. I notice here that Peter does none of that. He doesn't give instruction to the individual to either hide it or to go. The church is expanding, and the purpose of this is to expand it.
That's right.
The instruction has already been given.
Come on.
Right? The Great Commission's been given. So there's no restraint on who's going to see what. The restraint's gone. The Holy Spirit is active. It is moving. Jesus has already accomplished everything. And so there is no need for that anymore. Mm-hmm. Jesus had a purpose in the time for those things.
For restraint.
Because he had a purpose to take the cross and to rise from the dead.
Pre-Pentecost.
Right. And now we're not in that anymore. The church is meant to be active and not restrained. Peter isn't saying, hey, keep this to yourself. No, people are coming to know the Lord because of it. The works that Peter is doing is bringing people to Christ. He's showing the church that we must go and we must do and we must be active. So he's living an example. And I'm not saying I'm going to go to somebody and heal a paralytic through Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that. If Jesus wants to heal someone who's paralyzed, fantastic. And I believe it can be done. But what he's saying is we need to go and not be restrained and limit what we do or limit people from what they do. You know, I think there's a time to be cautious in a new believer who's zeal for the Lord and you want to train them up to be a strong disciple. But we don't want to restrain them from growing to go do the ministry. We just want them to actually know their scripture before they go do it.
Right.
Peter's an apostle who did 3 years of ministry with Jesus, the Lord. There's no restraint here for Peter. He gets to go and do ministry with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we see here. And so we need to make sure that we know that God is active. He breaks down walls. Nothing keeps him from what he wants to do. And we are serving that Lord. There's no restraint here. And that's what I see. Jesus had a plan and a purpose, and he made that happen. But now that the Holy Spirit and the church, this is post-Pentecost, there is no restraint in spreading the gospel.
I do think maybe bringing this down a little bit more practical, and maybe the word practical is not what I'm looking for, but rather the word transparently speaking. This is something, and I know that you fought it before too, and I'm not even making a specific statement for us. I'm saying this is something that I think a lot of pastors wrestle with. Sometimes we so badly want the church to get it. Sometimes we so badly want the church to realize, like, the purpose of your life should be to make Jesus known. Jesus is not some add-on. He is not just your religion of choice. He is not just like, you know, I'll put in time to the church, you know, because this is, you know, the hour of the week that I have. Like, Jesus should never receive our second best, third best, whatever. And this is what I'm trying to say. Sometimes as a pastor who so badly wants the saints to get it, I have to fight against a temptation which says, oh man, I'm upset at the church, or I'm bitter at the church, or because why isn't the church moving? Why, you know, do we repeat this over and over and over again? Why are you not passionate about this yet? So as I read this passage, it's comforting. Because even the very ministry of the Lord that prompts people to go and do it starts with the Holy Spirit, not with my nudging and my agitation, you know? So there's a blessing in being present and available for the Lord, right? Because these things came to Peter. He didn't necessarily go looking for them. So I don't know perfectly what I'm trying to say, other than I think even we as pastors have to remember God's Holy Spirit will work and prod people, and then they have a choice if they're going to go or not. But it's not all on my shoulders to get them to go.
Well, I think kind of what you're pointing out is, let's look at Peter during Jesus's ministry. Mm-hmm. Man, he was a little bit reactive, impulsive, didn't quite take the time to get it. You know, obviously we know tons of the stories of Peter, probably the most because he denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus told him, get behind me, Satan. All these different things where Peter just kind of messed up. Peter isn't really talking much here. Now, mm-hmm. Does Peter give sermons? Of course.
Yeah.
But in this section, as he's going, as these healings are happening, Peter is being obedient. I don't see a reaction or a pride in Peter here, like we may have in the past. There's a maturing that Peter has done, and maybe as a pastor, as we mature, as we grow, there's times where we want to just like be almost reactionary and impulsive in a moment to say, we need to do more.
Yeah.
But there's also a time to like, hey, let's just rest in the Holy Spirit and watch him work and be ready when we're called. Yep. Be ready when the opportunity arises. It doesn't mean be inactive and wait. We can rest in the Holy Spirit, and that is being an active believer.
Yeah.
We're waiting and we're ready for the response. When the Holy Spirit works, we go. When the Holy Spirit says this, we do that. You know, we have to be ready. We have to be willing to listen. And sometimes we can get bogged down by the woes of the world, the worries and the pressure of our society to where we're like, God, are you working? Mm-hmm. What's going on? I have to be more active because I don't feel like you're doing it fast enough. Mm-hmm. Well, I should probably take it a notch down and be like, Lord, what do you want me to do in these times?
That's right.
Let me sit back, pray, listen to the Holy Spirit and move and open doors instead of me trying to kick doors down that don't need to be kicked down, or trying to kick a door down I'll never kick down.
Yeah.
And all I'm doing is wasting my time and energy.
Well, it takes discernment, because it's certainly true in some areas the church has abdicated responsibilities and the world has taken our place.
Right.
But you know, there, I would say a true rest in the Lord is a type of rest which awaits for him like you're available. God, I have a heart to go and do this. I have a heart to join in this ministry. I have a heart for this, a heart for that. I'll wait on you to show me. So it's like you see in Peter, this healthy contentment of being ready, willing. He's physically on the move. He is doing something.
Right.
But as he's on the move and as he is doing something, he's waiting for the Lord to show him the specificity of that. And that's what I love personally about doing cold turkey evangelism at Walmart or down Main Street or somewhere here in the community. Because it's like, I don't know, I'm just going to go. I'm going to get out of my car. I'm going to walk around town. I'm going to pray. And when I feel the Lord prompting me to talk to somebody, I'm going to go because I just want to be available. And I think this is maybe a good, healthy principle for the church. Are you available for ministry? You know, not that you have to go and do it and in shame go and do ministry. I'm saying, like, are you just available? Are you free? Or are you too busy to where God like actually can't interrupt your schedule? Peter's ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what it means to live sent. It's like, do I have a heart that is pointed and directed at the Lord, which says, I'm ready, send me. Somewhat like Isaiah. I know the context of Isaiah 6. He's going to preach a message of condemnation. But still, are you ready? And God will use you. So verse 43, maybe one last statement here, Pastor Kyle. And Peter stayed many days in Joppa with a tanner named Simon. I have a note in my Bible. It says, a tanner was considered to be unclean because he worked with the skins of dead animals, Leviticus 11:40. Peter's staying with him may have helped prepare him to preach to Gentiles whom he considered unclean. It's preparing us for another text.
And his name's Simon. Why not, right? Simon Peter. Simon. Maybe just, you know. Thought, hey, that guy's the same name as me.
Oh, I like that guy.
I like that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think this detail wouldn't be there if it wasn't important. All of God's word is important. So we should take it seriously that coming up soon, Peter's going to get a vision.
Yeah, he's going to be preaching a message, what's considered clean and unclean.
Right.
And,
I think we need to make sure that we see this connection that Peter didn't just... He was prepared in many ways. And I think there's something to learn there too. Like, of course, God provided the message, but God also provided the circumstances for Peter to be in this place, to learn certain things, to be equipped in things that maybe he never even thought he needed to be equipped in, to do ministry to people that he never even thought he would do ministry to.
Absolutely.
I think there's more lessons from Peter, which I think we can learn so many things from Peter, but learning that God may be equipping you in a season to do ministry that you have no idea is going to happen. Like, I didn't become a full-time pastor until a year and a half ago. Yeah. I mean, I've done part-time ministry, been involved in other types of, work in behavioral health around those who suffer from mental illness. And that's been my work before that, and not necessarily in the church. But there was so much preparation being done during that time. I didn't know. I did. I questioned God the whole time because I wanted to be in full-time ministry. God, why do you have me here? What am I learning? And now we're in a society where people are calling mental illness normal.
Well, and now you're a pastor.
And now I'm a pastor.
And you can tell them it's not.
Right. And so I was definitely prepared for a time to pastor people who may be suffering and who may think things that they shouldn't be thinking because it isn't truth. Mm-hmm. It's based on experience and feeling. So people, I think we need to make sure, again, we're listening to the Holy Spirit. We're using this time to be equipped that God is using you, even if you feel stagnant, to evaluate your life, to see what God is teaching you, to be in prayer, to be on the move, to go through your life just as God has ordained you to do, to go and be disciples, to teach people, to train people up. Don't waste this moment of your life because you think God's being inactive in it. Like, he's not being inactive. He's actually preparing you.
So that you can be active.
So as we continue Acts, let's just be reminded that, yeah, the Holy Spirit is on the move, and he's on the move right now.
Well, just a concluding thought that I have. Last week's episode ended with Paul being put on the bench, so to speak, for 5 years. He had an initial ministry. Now he's in Tarsus for 5 years. But here, Peter is not on the bench, so to speak. You see Peter in three locations. He was in Lydda, he's in Joppa, and now he's more specifically with a tanner named Simon, somewhere he never thought he would be, right? So Peter's being moved by the Lord, and he's just available and ready. God will move in your life. The question is, are you ready when he does it?
Amen. Well, thank you for listening to the Be Disciples podcast. We hope that this has encouraged you. We want you to be equipped to go read the Bible with other people. That's why we do this. Those who are listening that are from Ottawa Bible Church, we just continue to pray and encourage you to meet with somebody once a week, to take them to coffee, to open your word, and to talk about Jesus, and to let the Holy Spirit work in that person's life. Thank you so much. Share this podcast with whoever you can. We just want people to know the Word of God, who Jesus is, and to be saved. Have a blessed week.